Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Vietnam Innovators. I'm your host, Hao, the CEO of Vietcetera. Today, we have David Nguyen. He's the managing director of Radisson Hotel Group. He's based out of Singapore, hence the Zoom call today, but he comes to Vietnam quite often. We're pleased to hear from him because we're going to learn a little bit about hospitality, how the trends are, some insights, and also what Radisson is up to. So welcome to the show, David. You know, actually, the first thing that piqued my interest when, your name came across our team in terms of scheduling the next episode and all that is that you are also Vietnamese. Your accent gives you away as an Australian, though, it sounds like.
That's true. I'm Vietnamese by ethnicity, but Australian by nationality.
David, could you introduce your role at Radisson? Sorry, I know you're a director, but maybe you can give us that snapshot, what you do at Radisson exactly.
Sure. So I'm the managing director for Radisson in the region. So I look after Indochina as well as Indonesia. So everything from Vietnam, Thailand, Cambodia, Laos, down there. So yeah, I mean, that I'm just looking at really spearheading the growth of Radisson Hotel Group in the region.
You know, you being based out of Singapore and helping to run this huge hotel group for the region from there gives you some pretty interesting insights about hospitality trends. And, you know, I wanted to invite you on the show too, because I come from hospitality backgrounds. I used to work at an OTA called Hotel Tonight back in the United States. So definitely know all the lingo, and I've stayed at hundreds of hotels, including Radisson Hotel. So very curious about what you guys have to share today. Anyways, that's kind of laying the groundwork for today's show. David, I'd love to hear from you, maybe perhaps a little bit about your Vietnamese background. You know, that's always a nice little lead off. And then perhaps what you're doing at Radisson. And let's just start from there.
Sure. I mean, well, thank you for having me. I mean, this is a real privilege speaking to you today, and really to all your listeners as well. So, I mean, myself, I'm David Nguyen, and then I've been in hotels for quite a number of years now. I am Vietnamese by ethnicity. You know, as I mentioned, Australian by nationality, though living in Singapore. That being said, you know, my time in Vietnam in the hospitality space, I actually was in Vietnam in 2004 for 7 years. So my time in Vietnam is not limited. It's quite extensive. I've gone through a lot of changes, a lot of growth during that time. I'd probably say some of the golden years, but at the same time, it was some of the years of challenges, whether that will be through swine flu or the bird flu at that time, you know, during the GFC crisis as well. And one of the great things about Vietnam is, you know, it is a very resilient country, and both from an economic standpoint, but as well as the tourism standpoint. So, you know, I guess where we are today, I mean, this is where we're seeing substantial growth within the country. And I think there's still more to come.
Great. David, you know, the 7 years that you spent in Vietnam, was that in hospitality?
Absolutely. All in hospitality, all in hotels and hotel development.
Got it. And that must have been night and day with what you're seeing today, right? I mean, I feel like there's a hotel opening every single week in Vietnam now. But what was it like? Let's give a snapshot of back in 2004 when you arrived. What kind of hotels were there? I mean, here in Saigon, you know, today you have five-star hotels of every kind, and business hotels, everything from, you know, affordable to the high-end luxury. What was the hotel market like when you arrived in 2004?
Yeah, I mean, it was at that time. I mean, there was a very clear delineation. There was either the local hotels, and that's how every country starts, and then there was the far and few in between of the international operators, right? And then when the international operators did enter in the country, they were always trying to really focus on the upscale, the luxury end. So you didn't really see that mid scale end. But on top of that, for Vietnam, and you know, back then were you had your common areas, you know, you had your Ho Chi Minh cities, you had your Hanoi's, and Da Nang itself was just starting to grow. I mean, the whole China Beach area, there was only a few hotels along that beach side. But now, I mean, I don't think there is another plot available for construction. So, you know, in a very short amount of time, I mean, albeit that it has been 18 years, but I mean, it must easily be tenfold the number of hotels that were back then. And it's not stopping either. I mean, we can generally tell the growth of that industry by the number of cranes that we see that are out on the ground.
Yeah, I can only imagine. Must have been quite the privilege to be there quite some time ago, but and then return today and see that vast change. Which leads me to my, you know, let's deep dive into the hospitality business a little bit from the Radisson perspective. You know, I did a quick search online, wasn't quite sure how many Radisson Group hotels are in Vietnam. It sounds like there's 4 or 5 that's underway at the moment. I've stayed at one myself already, so I am aware of the product here in Vietnam. But what factors are contributing to your team's interest in growing its presence here? What are some of the high-level stats that you can draw that get your team excited from a development point of view?
Yeah, look, I mean, albeit that there's a lot of hotels. I mean, there's a lot of hotels in the market, but there's still not enough hotels. Let's put it that way. There's not a lot of hotels because the hotels that we have, we generally commonly see these days, are focused on those main areas, the capital city, you know, the business Ho Chi Minh City, Hanoi, Da Nang. And then we're really starting to see the other areas come about, you know, whether we talk about whether we talk about Nha Trang or Cam Ranh around that area, around Phan Thiet and Vũng Tàu. So we're really starting to see these areas starting to grow. But not only these particular areas, but we're seeing all these areas that we would not have heard about from a very global standpoint, you know, 10, 15 years ago. And Vietnam is slowly unearthing these areas and people are becoming more popular and we're putting more hotels there. So, you know, the great thing about Vietnam is it's a country that has everything naturally in the country. You know, you can go through business travel, you can go through leisure travel. There's a great coastline, you know, throughout the whole of Vietnam. You can go through bushwalking, you could go to adventure travel. You know, Ha Long Bay is itself, you know, is itself an experience. So, you know, Vietnam has this great diverse attraction naturally. And there's so many different areas of Vietnam that is still untouched. So with that in mind, you know, we see there's a huge long-term potential in Vietnam and not only just in the upscale market. You know, right now we do have 4 hotels. We have Radisson Blue and Radisson, you know, so they're 2 of our brands that we have across our 9 brands. So, you know, we have everything from our luxury brands down to an economy brand. So with that, you know, the Vietnam market can take a lot across that diversity between luxury as well as mid-scale, because again, you know, we have a backpackers market in Vietnam, not to say that our brands cater for the backpackers, but, you know, you've got an economy traveler, you have a mid-scale traveler. So to be able to cater for these travelers and the demand in Vietnam, yeah, we need to have those hotels of those different categories.
Which leads me to my next question. What are the plans for Radisson? You've laid out kind of the macro kind of interest and factors driving your personal time into the country. What are those plans? You have 4 hotels now. There's a 5th on the way. How many hotels do you envision for the Radisson Group in Vietnam in the next few years?
Look, we're targeting at least, 30 plus hotels by 2025, right?
So, wow.
We've got a pipeline of hotels already currently, but our ambition is to have 30 by 2025. We're on track at the moment, you know, to achieving those targets. So there's no reason that we won't. The way things are picking up right now in Vietnam, the way the tourists are coming back to Vietnam, you know, we're seeing great growth. I mean, the fundamentals are really there. So it's really more of a question of how fast can we get these hotels online to support that growth.
Fantastic. And those 30 hotels are spread out across the country in the resorts, to the cities, to the secondary cities. And for our listeners today that may not be as familiar with the Radisson brand, given that, you know, 4 hotels, that pales in comparison to some of the bigger groups here, at least within the local context. 30 is going to definitely put it in the upper echelons of hotel presence. Maybe you can give us, in a nutshell, what does the Radisson brand mean to you and mean to consumers so that Vietnamese consumers can understand, once you guys bring these hotels online, what can they expect?
Well, the expectation is memorable moments, right? I mean, at the end of every day, we go into every single customer creating memorable moments, and that's key for us. You know, a hotel is is a static product itself, but at the same time, it creates experiences, it creates memories, and those are things that, you know, are self-created to the consumer. And, you know, it's important for us to be able to deliver those experiences, and, you know, so they walk away with the memory that they can go home and talk to their friends, families, and then come back again. You know, the importance of return customers is crucially important for us. You know, we're always thinking, one of my mantras is, yes, I can. So there's nothing that is generally too hard for us to achieve.
Got it. Let's talk about returning customers. You mentioned that it's critical to your business. I mean, I used to work in the OTA business myself, and returning was always, you know, the most sought after customer because they understand the brand. Usually they're tied to the loyalty program. I'd love to hear your thoughts about that as well. How important is the loyalty program to Radisson? And if possible, can you point some numbers to that? How many members are there in the world? How many members do you have in Vietnam, if you're able to share that? And for a typical hotel night, like I'm staying Wednesday night at the Radisson Blue in, you know, X city, how many of them are returning customers? Could you highlight and spotlight some of those facts and figures for us?
Yeah, absolutely. The loyalty programs are one of the top four factors of a consumer. It's not there, you know, there's always price, there's quality, and loyalty program is a considering factor. So, you know, knowing that is so important, you know, of brand loyalty, and a loyalty program needs to really support that. Now for us, you know, we are able to really demonstrate, you know, the success of the loyalty programs that we have. You know, we have a combined base of 182 million loyalty members, which is, and that's globally. I mean, that's globally itself. So that's important, you know, to have that base whereby, you know, consumers are able to experience all parts of the world, you know, where we're actually, you know, located. You know, we're across more than 120 countries globally. So it's important that we have a program that can support, you know, all the consumers, all our loyal consumers that we have coming back to our hotels. So, you know, a program is essential because it gives the consumer comfort of, you know, of their stay. They have a level of expectation of when they're returning to a hotel brand, regardless of whether it's in Europe, whether it's in Asia, whether it's in North America. There's a certain level of expectation that they have, right? But it's also just important. You know, a loyalty program is not a matter about just you stay one night and you earn some points and then you can redeem those points for free nights thereafter. You know, loyalty programs are a lot more than that. You know, it's really about understanding the customer, but also creating that value back to the customer and recognizing them for it, you know, and recognizing them as a loyal partner to you. So no one feels like a ticket. And, you know, it's important whereby, and let me give you an example, whereby, you know, you have a customer who comes in, stays in the hotel, they are a Radisson Rewards member, they're coming off and they're staying. It's important that they do get, you know, best rate guarantee, you know, that they're getting a good rate. But when they're there, they're also recognized. And whether that's through personalized profiling, you know, of their likes, their dislikes, because we already have that information ahead of time, we can really personalize that service. When they're dining inside the restaurants themselves, I mean, it's important that we recognize them there. So, you know, being a Radisson Rewards members, when you dine in the F&B, there are discounts, there are food and beverage discounts, which, you know, allows the consumer feeling though that they're getting value for money while they're staying at the hotel as well. So, you know, the way we really look at our consumers, you know, we fine tune that ongoing. You know, right now we've just actually revamped the Radisson Rewards program because we've heard our customers, we understand our customer base, where we've actually been able to simplify our loyalty program. So we used to have four tiers, like a lot of other companies will have multiple tiers. You know, we had four tiers, but we've actually streamlined it down to only three tiers now, which makes it a lot easier for the customer and for the consumer to basically attain the next level up. Because we know that from research that 70% of loyalty members basically disengage because through it's just too difficult to earn points. Mm-hmm. It takes such a long time. So, you know, we've changed that to only creating three levels. The number of stays and the number of nights we've actually lowered down in order for our loyalty members to be able to move to the next level and take the benefits, as I mentioned earlier, of being a loyalty member. So, you know, all of these things really encompass a true loyalty program, in my view.
I was curious when I was reading about that, the lowering the thresholds to engage more customers. That's almost the exact opposite what these other hotel brands are doing, or the airlines are doing. They're inflating the I guess you could say, requirements to engage. So I was quite curious to understand, you know, what are the, you know, obviously the research supports the consumer side, and you guys are taking a super consumer friendly approach to it. Are there any, you know, potential drawbacks from that decision though? Is it, I mean, I'm sure you've done your research and done the calculations to see the pros and cons of that. Like if I'm a power user of Radisson, right? Suddenly, maybe too many are now the higher tiers. What do you say to the consumers that have been, you know, those power stayers with Radisson for the reasons for this change? I mean, I guess, you know, you're getting more points now, right? So you can get more free nights. That's one assumption I would make. Maybe you can share about that, the balancing act between the new customers and the power ones.
As you said, you know, everything has been done through research, and you know, we've really, not only from an economic standpoint, and it's been done from a consumer standpoint. The purpose of a loyalty program is to have loyalty customers, right? Rather than, and to have loyalty customers, you can't create barriers in order for the customer to attain to a certain level. Otherwise, you know, it becomes, as I say, it becomes too difficult. And as statistics have shown, that 70% become disengaged because it's just too difficult. Things move. Mm-hmm. They're no longer brand committed after that. They'll just shop mm-hmm. around. And that's not what we want. You know, for us, it's important to grow that. It's great. Look, if everybody hits our top tier, it's wonderful. You know, it is not a tier that we assign to only 1% of the market. We would love for everybody to be in our top tier. And therefore, we'd love to give everybody in that top tier the highest level of benefits as possible. At the end of the day, you know, it is, it's a program where it's about keeping our customers with us, and rather than pushing the customers away and create barriers, it naturally just pushes people away.
Yeah. I'm going to move forward to another area that I always love to ask the development teams of hospitality companies a bit, David. I mean, that is your focus, right? Development, hotel development. Okay, 4 or 5 hotels in Vietnam. First question's got to be, why did it take so long for Radisson to finally decide, okay, we're going to hit 30 in 2025? What was the development process the last few years that has limited the group to only 5 now, but suddenly it's going to, you know, balloon to 30? That's incredible. I'd love to hear, you know, what were some of the challenges you had on the development side? What drove the decision making recently?
Yeah, the market entry into Vietnam for us was relatively recent, and you know, and that is, I mean, that it really is the crux to it. You know, we entered into the Vietnam market after, you know, after deciding and after through research and feasibility that it is a target market. You know, it's important to do that because once you enter in the market, you have to be committed for the long term, and it's important for us to be committed to the long term, rather than doing a short-term sprint and then out we go. And through that, you know, we've committed to the country. We've actually set up we've established a business unit in Vietnam alone itself. We actually have a team, an on-the-ground team that services really the market, our owners, the various stakeholders. And that's crucially important. That really is our commitment to being in Vietnam for the long term. So, look, the growth of there are other brands out there that have come in slightly earlier, and good for them. But you know, there is still plenty of bandwidth within the market, you know, for us. Mm-hmm. And our pipeline is strong because, you know, we when we have started, we started off well. Our partners, being our hotel owners themselves, they're extremely gracious and they're extremely supportive. And we've been very, very lucky to actually have them because you can't have success without them, right? And, you know, we're very lucky whereby, you know, we've been open early this year. We opened two hotels. We opened the Radisson in Da Nang and as well as the Radisson in Frontier. From day one, we've been able to have great success in those hotels. And the hotel in Da Nang itself was, we had 80% occupancy in June, July, you know, for a hotel that had only been 3 months old. To really be at that capacity is a really strong feat. And that is for us is that's the success that we want to continue with every owner to ensure that, you know, we start off on the right foot. Well, that comes through really through methodical planning and having the right owners and the right properties.
So in a market like Vietnam, where Radisson has a few properties and they've, you know, fairly recent, but they've been performing well, what's your guys' pitch to owners? I ask you this question because I know for a fact many of these prospective, if not current owners of hotels, not just Radisson hotels, do listen to this podcast. What are some of the big, you know, takeaways that you want to share with them when they're considering a hotel operator? What are the key pillars of success? Not just like the big brand, you know, everyone wants to have the luxury brand, right? But that's not necessarily economical or may not be the best choice. But then again, does an economical choice also, you know, add value to their interests? Maybe you can share your big talking points when you and your Radisson team come to the owners about why work with Radisson?
Sure. And it goes back to those nine brands that we have, right? And because we have that brand diversity, I mean, they all suit a particular price point, you know, and the cost of build is something that every developer is extremely sensitive about on how much investment they're wanting to put into to their investment, right? So, you know, we are able to really match that criteria. So we're aligned with if an owner has a certain budget that he's looking at his development, you know, we do have a brand that generally fits that particular budget for him to deliver the highest level of return. And so we're not only just focused on the luxury brands, you know, or luxury segment, pardon me, as some other brands are, you know, we do cover that breadth. So going with that, we're able to cover that return on investment for the particular owners. The other part is, you know, just our 182, you know, base that we have of loyalty members, that's extremely powerful. You know, when you're talking about driving loyalty members to your hotels, you know, that's a big base to work off. I mean, that's a huge base to work off to driving business into the hotel. So that's another point. But, you know, commonly, you know, we are in over 120 countries globally. And, you know, having a customer base, you know, in those particular markets and having loyalty base in those particular markets, you know, it's extremely important because the feeder market into Vietnam is not only the big domestic play, but the international play is crucial as well. You know, India is becoming a growing market, extremely huge growing market for Vietnam itself, whereby in Da Nang and Cam Ranh, actually, they're about to do some chartered flights from India into these particular cities. Now, in India, we are actually the largest hotel group in India.
Wow. Okay. I did not know that.
So that's, you know, it's important that we can leverage that. And, you know, just that alone can actually drive substantial business that does support these charter flights that are currently flying into Vietnam, which in due time will become, which will become actually commercial flights, commercial route from India into Da Nang or into Cam Ranh itself. You know, the Middle Eastern market is also a growing market for Vietnam. We're the fastest growing brand out of there. So, you know, there are many factors that, you know, owners do consider when choosing this. And we're quite fortunate that, you know, we have a very strong infrastructure as well as footprint globally that allows us to support the hotels that are coming to Vietnam.
Okay. Yeah, that India fact is very interesting because at least from my side, on the media side, you know, the number of visa applications, for instance, e-visas are now granted through the web for Indian travelers. That's a huge bonus. And I think the number of applicants from India have something like 10x'd, or if not more, in the past 12 months.
Right.
So that is a huge opportunity and great statistic to share there. I think, you know, when we look at these global hotel brands, for example, if I look at a European hospitality firm, you know, I'm thinking, okay, I get European travelers. Radisson's obviously American, and I'm sure your base of members are mostly American at the same time. But if you look at a regional perspective, to know that India, you guys are the market leader, that's a little bit of a nugget of information that most people wouldn't perceive from the get-go. So thank you for sharing that, David. A lot of Indian travelers that go to Radisson, then, it sounds like.
We're quite big out of Europe as well, right? So our Radisson Blue brand, which is predominantly half the footprint in Vietnam, are Radisson Blue. Mm. So Radisson Blue in itself, out of Europe, is actually the largest brand in Europe over the last 10 years. So again, footprint wise, quite significant.
Mm. Got it. Well, last question about, you know, what should consumers pay attention about when it comes to the market trends and owners as well? This is a bit of a hardball question for you here, David. For sure, some markets within the country need more hotels. Like, I can honestly say that Saigon and even Hanoi, you know, they need more places for sure. But then when I go travel to a place like Phu Quoc, for instance, I was just there over the weekend, and phenomenal location, and all the properties there are fantastic. I can't say a single negative word, but I am concerned about the occupancy. I am concerned about the overdevelopment of hotels. I'd love to hear, you know, your perspective on potential risks of overdevelopment, if any. I'm sure you have your opinions and about that. What are some takes from your side of the business about what owners should look out for when it comes to overdevelopment?
I mean, they need to really understand the market as well, you know, and the supply and demand is key critical, right? And so there's, and that's where if we distill it down, there's either market supply and demand, there's that region supply and demand, and then it becomes hotel supply and demand. And this is where, you know, even though the market may have substantial supply, but, you know, to any success of any hotel is the consumer confidence, right? And if a consumer is comfortable with a particular brand, they'll come and stay at the hotel, right? And our growth in Vietnam, where this does leverage, part of that is, you know, we're not concentrated in any one particular area. And we have to be prudent in the where we do have our hotels, not to cluster the number of hotels that we have in one area. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that does get into all sorts of challenges thereafter. So, you know, where the spread of hotels that we have, the spread of Radisson hotels that we have throughout the market is our view of the future, ensuring that, you know, we have hotels that start from the south, from the north, pardon me, moving all the way through the body of Vietnam down to South Vietnam as well. Mm-hmm. So most travelers either will take on, and I'm talking in general, would either take on one destination, or if there's a traveler from overseas that are doing having a couple of weeks or 2 or 3 weeks, you know, they don't want to stay in one place. They're looking for an experience throughout the whole of Vietnam. And as Vietnam is in experiences, it's so different to in the north as it is in the south to the central, for example. So it's important to create that journey for them, and having hotels spread throughout the country, we are actually able to create that journey for our customers, and being our loyal to customers as well, where they can actually start and stay at a Radisson Hotel from the north, go to the central, stay in a Radisson Hotel, move down somewhere, you know, between the north and mid, and then down south, you know, they can actually stay at a Radisson all the way through the whole journey, and ensure that they have the similar quality of service, the similar standards, and that's key critical, because that's where, you know, you can create a very clean experience for the consumer, as opposed to moving from one hotel to another. So, you know, going back to a hotel development, you know, to your question is not only looking at from a supply and demand factor on that particular area, but it's important to ensuring that the right brand is chosen, you know, the brand who can actually give you that business inflow, that constant business inflow. So market factors will always drive demand, I think, in the longer term, but at the same time, market share is what we're really focused on and ensuring that we get the biggest pie.
Okay. Well, fantastic, David. David, that concludes the bulk of our podcast today. We talked a lot about hospitality, about insights, about development, what owners should look out for, why consumers should think about brands in a certain way. You've been in Vietnam for 7 years. It's been a while since you were last here, at least on the ground. I'm sure you've come for business quite a few times. I always like to wrap up my podcast by asking, well, there's two questions. First question, it's the easier one, perhaps. You mentioned you have a business unit here on the ground in Vietnam now, taking care of the owners, expanding the business, talking to, looking at new development projects. Are you hiring for that team? What does that team look like? How many of them are there? I'd love to get a quick snapshot of that for those listeners that are interested, potentially.
Absolutely. Look, we've got our team located in Vietnam are really, at this point in time, are really focused on, from an operational standpoint, in order for service delivery as well as development. So we have a number of developers. We are growing. I mean, we've come out of a time where you know, COVID has really penalized, I think, a lot of businesses itself. We were committed during the pandemic. So in reverse, we actually grew our team during the pandemic, and that was in order to prepare ourselves for the recovery that we're coming into at this point in time. So, you know, we are constantly growing that business unit. You know, we will have a full service business unit in due time that covers everything from the front end, from a marketing perspective, down to technical services thereafter. So it's important that the business unit is independent, whereby it can really service Vietnam alone. And, you know, as time goes on, we will progressively grow that business unit.
Very good. And my last question is, you know, with your connections and understanding of the Vietnam market, is there anyone else that you think would be great to have on the Vietnam Innovator Show, perhaps outside of hospitality or perhaps within? We'd love to get your quick thought on that, if you have anyone to recommend.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, selfishly enough, I would love to hear from someone from the airline industry, actually. It's a crucial part, I think, you know, not only from a Vietnam, a growth perspective, you know, the economy itself, but also, I mean, tourism, I mean, hospitality specifically, I mean, it depends a lot from air travel, right, and inbound travel, you know, from the various airlines. You know, there's a certain point in time, you know, we've got a number of international airports. You know, some are more busier than others. There's some, but capacity-wise, I think there's a lot more. So I would love to actually hear from somebody from the airline industry to really give a bit of a picture of how it looks for the future. Because I think that also impacts economic growth in Vietnam, you know, because we're not only just tourism, we're manufacturing as well, you know, in Vietnam, which is a huge thing. So the inflow of people, logistics is the other part as well. So, I mean, I definitely welcome somebody from the airline industry.
Excellent. Well, your wish will be served soon. I think in the coming months, we have some guests from Bamboo and Vietnam Airlines going to be on the show soon. So look out for that. But, you know, that is top of mind. We've not had anyone from the airline industry on the show yet. But stay tuned for that. It'll be on the show shortly.
Brilliant. Look forward to it.
Very good. Everyone, David Nguyen, Managing Director of Radisson in Southeast Asia. It's been a pleasure to hear about your insights, and we wish the best for the Radisson team and its growth here in Vietnam. We'll be on the lookout.
Thank you for having me.
You heard everyone, 30 hotels. Let's keep David to it. We'll see you guys next time. All right. Bye-bye. Bye.
With a comprehensive healthcare ecosystem, GeoHealth integrates technology to optimize the examination experience for their customers. The Geo Smart Clinic provides a multi-specialty clinic experience with a team of elite doctors and cutting-edge technology. with their recent Series B investment of up to $20 million, GeoHealth is coming closer to expanding their smart clinic system nationwide.
You can also check out the video version of this podcast on our other platforms such as YouTube and Facebook. New episodes are out every week, so don't forget to subscribe to Vietcetera's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube channel for more interesting content.